Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Hello. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent magazines, and Right Fit, fitness, wellness, and performance. We've got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Chris Couturis is a pediatric sports medicine specialist. He's the owner of Active Kids MD. He's also the team doc for the men's and women's USA volleyball teams. He returns. And then Steve Gray, he's been a strength and performance coach. He's the head of operations for Right Fit Sports Fitness and Wellness. They're one of our sponsors. His mom, Suzanne, their founder, has been a guest numerous times in the past year or so. So let's welcome Chris Couturis back to the Sports Doctor. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me back again.
Yay. Give us some background with you and what you're doing and what you've been involved with.
Well, I have a pediatric and sports medicine practice here in Anaheim Hills, California, and I got fortunate back in 2005 when the U.S. men's volleyball team moved their training base to Anaheim, California. It gave me a chance to work with that great group of individuals, allowed me to move on to work at the Olympic Games in 2008. So I continue to work with them. I work with a lot of young athletes and performers. U.S. figure skaters have come on board. So I'm blessed to work with just a great group of people, their parents, and just try to keep them healthy and moving forward.
Yes, you know, that's why I always ask people in our world how your sports psychology skills are when we're talking about sports parents, we're talking about the high pressures. You know, it's one of the reasons, Dr. Chris, that I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, all capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. This is not a surprise to a lot of people, the pressures. Younger and younger ages, much more physical, let alone what's going on now in a world with the virus. But that is a big challenge. Youth sports is a $20 billion a year industry, and there's lots of pressure, isn't there?
There is. And I think if we've learned anything in the past several months, it's how we address kids. We have some kids just chomping at the bit to get back. Other kids have taken a step back and said, maybe I want to reevaluate where my performance is going to be. So we've had some unique discussions, and I think we're all looking forward to seeing things safely open up and see where kids end up wanting to put their time.
You know, it's interesting, whether it's the professional sports with what's going on there, whether it's big-time college sports, whether it's high school sports, whether it's all these traveling teams, these kids' sports, all of them are in the same boat, which is good luck to us regarding how this is going to pan out. And, you know, the challenges, for example, of a lot of these kids that haven't done anything very, very, very actively necessarily for months, all of a sudden the team sports start. So I think, and I'm sure, that's one of the big topics of discussion, which let's not get crazy here right out of the box. Let's make sure that we can work ourselves into some sort of sensible condition, prevent injuries, right?
No doubt. No doubt. We're trying to talk to kids about not going from 0 to 60, for coaches to have build-up time, because, yes, you've had kids who have not been doing that much physical activity. Plus, I've been impressed with how many of my kids have physically grown. You know, they're not as active. They're not putting their calories into sport.
Right.
They're
see,
getting taller.
Right.
They're shaping
you
more.
You don't see them as often. You know, so it's interesting. It's always been one of the biggest challenges. Is, you know, children are not small adults. They're growing bodies.
Right.
It puts a whole other area of, again, sports medicine. You were one of the initiators of the whole subject hasn't been around all that long, even though it's been around, but not really paying enough, you know, attention, you know, whether it was the Little League parents and the crazy coaches and the overzealous, you know, in the world of gymnastics, all these stuff. I call them Svengali coaches. He's overbearing. And it's led to one of the biggest problems that I've seen, Dr. Chris, in sports medicine for youth. And that's this reliance on over-the-counter pain medicine for these kids to try to stay in the game because of the pressures. I'm going to ask you more about that. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, live from Chicago. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you can go to radio shows. You can go back years of shows. Gosh, almost 10 years before that, we have to find the reels to reel, you know, that we use. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see a slew of topics in the world of all aspects of sports medicine, youth sports medicine that I've written, been involved with for that great magazine, Lower Extremity Review, as well as a new exciting concept, MVP Parent magazine, keeping the kids in the game. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers. We have a lot of great information, education that we include. But at Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we're talking with Chris Couturas, a pediatric sports medicine specialist. He was fortunate enough to be a part of the 2008 Beijing Olympics. What a big deal that had to be. And when you're working with these world-class athletes and you start to see sometimes what it takes, sometimes you got to take a step back and say, you know, these kids are so much bigger, so much faster, so much stronger. It's scary.
It is. It's amazing when you see the talent, you see the effort that goes in, and, you know, you just talk to people, you know, 20 years ago, do we see people this tall, this big, move so gracefully? No. We've definitely seen an evolution.
They all run the 40 and 5'2", and they weigh 300 pounds. What's the website for people to find out about Active Kids MD and everything you're doing?
Just as you said, www.activekidmd.com. We've got a wonderful blog and more information about our practice.
Yes, and what are some of the bullets, again, when you're working with coaches, whether you're working with parents, you're working with these kids, what are some of the things that really you pay big attention to, regardless, when they're in that active kids MD? What are you paying big attention to?
I think we look at the details, how they sleeping, how they eating, how they balancing, the school commitment, the sport commitment, the life commitment. We're looking long term. I'm not as important what's going to happen the next few weeks, but how are we going to get this done in the next few years? So I'm looking at as many details in the big picture as possible. I want to hear from the kid. I want to hear what they're feeling and they're doing. Yes, I want to engage the parent and the coach, but, hey, the kid is my main focus of attention.
Yes, that's become the new vibe. As I, you know, I've been talking about these topics for, I don't know, 3 decades, give or take a few weeks. And the importance of let's listen to what that boy or girl has to say. Let's see how they're doing. You know, Little League, the great Little League baseball, 30, 40 years ago, woke up one day, Dr. Chris, and they saw that 40% of these kids were not even signing up to play again. They said, what's going on here? And a lot of it was the pressure. Again, that's physical and mental pressure. It's the pressure to win and the overzealous coaches many times. And it's great to hear the emphasis on, you know, getting a chance to hear what's important, whose goal is it, and what are we talking about. And I hope you're checking their foot mechanics at the same
Looking
time,
at,
man.
No doubt.
You got to have
no
these
doubt.
Kids balancing on one foot in front of you. You know, I mentioned to you before you came on that in the late 70s and 80s, my very famous mentor, Bob Guida, famous kinesiotherapist, was a strength and conditioning coach for USA Volleyball when they trained in the Midwest. And we got a chance to really see some of these fantastic men and women who did not make the Olympics in 76. I'm dating myself now. They made it in 80. 84, they were the gold medalists. But it's interesting. One of the things I found out that the highest jumpers in the world weren't necessarily basketball players. They were the volleyballers.
There's some amazing athletes, and you just watch them again. The speed, the skill, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible to be part of.
The physical side of big-time volleyball is a big deal. We used to do a lot of screening for these young, this great sports performance team here in the Midwest. And besides all the overkill and the overtraining, of course, they were champions in so many different ways. But all that jumping, it's just an incredible challenge, especially, you know, like you said, when these kids are growing, and we would see the incredible problems that it's a heck of a lot more physical than sometimes, you know, people realize. What other sports are you involved with in your world? I bet all of them.
Just about all of them. Right now, not too many, unfortunately, everything being shut down. But, gosh, when things are rolling, we've got baseball, softball, we've got gymnastics, a lot of performance arts and dancing going on. So it's a lot of fun to get to know these athletes, get to know what they like to do, find out more about their sport. I can't tell how many times I'm YouTubing things to find out the latest in gymnastics move or dance things. So it's an ever-ongoing learning process.
Those two sports, Dr. Chris. Yeah, those two sports, you know, besides, like we were mentioning, figure skating, there's a chapter in my book, I call it the prodigy sports. Now, we know that experts like yourself and your associates, everybody says we want these kids to play different sports. We really want them to use their body in different ways. That's what we want. That's what's best. But when you have a young gymnast or a young figure skater or a young dancer, good luck to you in getting them. They don't want to play any other sports. So that became another very, very big challenge that I've watched over four decades in the world of figure skating, where, again, we would see the attention to making sure there's some real smart, you know, physical training going on, overview, when we would be dealing with these kids who were doing, you know, we're swinging 1,000 times a week. I'm doing my backhand. The kid's, you know, 12 years old. He's playing tennis 10 days a week. So the sports that involve specialization, I would imagine, are also a big challenge for you guys.
They are, because you have to acknowledge that if the child does not engage in a certain level of commitment, they're not going to advance. At the same time, the overload's an issue, the opportunity cost. What are they giving up? Are they giving up other sport opportunities, social avenues, things like that? So you're right, it takes a team. You have to really sit down with other authorities and go, how can we best support this kid, but always keeping that kid's best interest first at heart.
So what are some of the common physical problems that you see in your young athlete? Are the old ankle injuries still number one?
Ankle injuries right up there. You talk about shoulder overuse, elbow overuse, lower back type issues, more common than you would like to think.
Still overuse with elbows and shoulders. It's funny, you know, the team doctor, the Yankees, had a couple of articles on a colleague of mine on LinkedIn, and he talked about, again, you know, that whether Tommy John surgeries, you know, being done on adolescents, and still with all of the awareness, you know, that the arm problems, you know, I find that remarkable.
No, they still go on. In fact, we're seeing them younger and younger. When I was in training, I'd like to think not too long ago, we always dismissed Tommy John and the high school athlete. Well, that's not the case anymore. They are fairly prevalent, and usually they're a cumulative injury from all the years of throwing and not enough time away.
This is nuts. You got the guidelines. You got to come out with those guidelines from your world requiring the kind of throwing that's allowed in a growing kid. And even if they're going to be a pitcher and come up with some sort of good sense in that regard. But then again, that's as challenging as telling a young 12-year-old how many double or triple jumps they could do, especially if they could do them. Right?
Yeah, if you're good, you're going to get the call. You know, if you're talented and blessed with a nasty curveball or 80-mile-an-hour fastball, your phone's going to light up, and that's the biggest challenge.
Yes, that's why we recommend, of course, you're the other side of the country, but I recommend very, very highly your kind of groups as a proactive preventative. You know, doing the two things everybody cares about, whatever the level of the athlete or the range. Number one, can I prevent injuries?
Right.
Number two, can I enhance performance for those kids that this is what's relevant necessarily for them? Instead of waiting for an injury being proactive. I would imagine that the pediatric community must be a big fan of you guys.
We try to do the best we can, anticipate, to try to teach, and we get our receptive audiences. We get some families who come in, they seem all excited, and then the follow-up's not there. But every day we're just trying to, like you said, reduce the risk of somebody getting hurt, giving them a chance to do better, and just thrive in all aspects of their life.
Yeah, I got to tune in with these people that we have as common denominators on the radio show, my whole Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors in Group, the National Alliance of Youth Sports, iSport 360 over in England, working with parents in sports, have them touch base, get involved with you and the great stuff that you guys are doing. Do you have any associates with you, Chris?
I have Keith Gladstein. He's a general pediatrician, does a wonderful job, and the two of us, blessed with a wonderful staff, do the best we can for our patients.
Yes, and again, like we talked about, the mental game, it's such a big deal. We have so many different people talking about that, now being paid great attention to, whether it, again, it's the role of the child, whether it's the how does the coach fit in, what about the parents, and being able to understand that the mental game, and there are definite ways to pay attention to that, is finally seeing the, you know, a longtime associate of mine, the late Dr. Jim Vickery, who's a sports psychologist, Dr. Chris, and he shared the radio show with me in the 90s for a few years, and he would always make such a big deal. He was a sports psychologist, but back then he was working with the White Sox, other teams. He didn't use the word psychologist. The word
right.
Psychology scared everybody away. He was a performance enhancement consultant.
Right.
So the inclusion of the mental game, I'm very excited to see, you know, in all aspects of youth sports. Because, again, you know, we're very involved. I got to get together with these people that we're doing this documentary called Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. It's a big business. There's a tremendous amount of overkill, and we want to be able to count on experts like yourself to be able to stay out of trouble. Give me quickly the website again, Chris.
www.activeactivekidmd.com.
Great. Chris Katoris, thanks so much. Hold on, Chris. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome back. It's Dr. Bob Weil. Welcome to the Sports Doctor, Sports Podiatry. We're excited about welcoming Steve Gray. He's a strength and performance coach specialist. He's the head of operations for Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, one of our supporters on the radio. He's Suzanne's, their founder's son. And, hey, Steve, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Doctor, thanks for having me. Excited to be here. Thanks a lot.
Great to have you on. And I thought, give us some background on you and Right Fit.
Absolutely. So founded in 2004, actually my sophomore year of high school. Like you mentioned, my mom was the founder of Right Fit. And if we can look at the industry landscape going back to 2004, Right Fit was very much founded at a time where if you are a private consumer looking for a place to train, it was kind of the commercial gym or bust. And she saw a need back then to make fitness, you know, more accessible to all populations. And that was really her mission. And so 2004, you know, boom, Right Fit emerges. It was meant to be an inclusive environment where anyone could get a quality, results-oriented, safe fitness program from a professional college degree trainer. And her concept kind of ran. And, you know, the industry has changed, and you know, we see boutiques around every corner now. But back in 2004, that wasn't the case. It's always been in my
heart. Oh, yeah. And not only that, Steve, you know, yeah. your mom was wrote books on the value, that's how I met her, on the value of exercise and autism. Your mom was also very, very involved very early in childhood obesity, which we talked a lot about. And the idea of education in the world of training, including whether it's these great young athletes, which is my particular area, as you know, whether they're figure skaters or tennis players. You know, one of your colleagues over there, Mike Andrews, we go back 40 years, give or take a few weeks, with him working with so many of my great skaters and a lot about those things. So I think, you know, the idea of a safe method of training and the idea that, again, there is a physical therapist, sometimes there's a gym, it seems, on every other block, I think it's very important that people can understand they're getting programs, whatever, from really qualified people in whatever the area happens to be.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you hit two nails right on the head. You know, as I've kind of moved into more of an operations role, and I've been a trainer, I've worked at kind of every level of the organization. One thing my mom was completely adamant about, and you mentioned two of her pillars right off the bat: education and safety. And I use the word in-house developed trainer specialist because outside of the college degree, and I can speak from my own experiences of the value of applied knowledge on the floor. I mean, it's just such an integral part. And, you know, me and Mike, who's been a huge mentor to me, I mean, his expertise, you know, trumps mine. And I just love getting to talk and listen to him. But
my son and daughter, who were in their 40s, way back when, I mentioned in the first segment, my mentor, my great associate, Bob Guida, who saw athletes from all over the world, would come in to work with. And Mike Andrews was running a class called Program Edge, which involved balance and rubber bands. When my kids were like 7, 8 years old, he's been working with rubber bands. We invented them, give or take a little bit. But the idea of having the, you know, safe methods of exercise, especially with the pressures today of people, you know, wanting to be active, dealing with the problems or overuse injuries. And with the other area, like we said, of interest, now you were strength and conditioning coach for what type of sports, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I get a ton of football players. So I've been coaching football for 7 years. Blessed to be asked to be on Tim Rackey's staff, Nazareth, at the high school program. We've seen a great deal of success. he built a heck of a program, asked me and gave me the privilege of working with a lot of these athletes. And then some of them I would see additionally, you know, at Wright-Fitz facilities. Outside of that, I mean, I just had a girl this morning, 12-year-old youth soccer player. We had a girl, LTE, girls cross country runner. We see a lot of volleyball players. So I'm not just football. And, but you know, the scope is wide and mostly high school, ages. So,
yeah, I hope you're working those feet and ankles, man. Right.
I gotta tell you this. So I've just seen, at least in my time, whether I'm going to conferences across the country, a big talking point is always, right, you hear it, the glutes, the extensors of the hips, and no doubt are they important. I can tell you this, when we look at the elasticity of athletes, and as much as I go, hey, yo, valgus knee, let's target that medial glute, I'm going back to, I want to look at that foot and ankle more and more, not only from a mobility standpoint, but just, I mean, you see it. I call it the wheel of the car, but, man, when I see bad patterns at other joints, the foot's breaking down.
Andrews and Guida, I don't care what the athlete was, what their level was, what their age was, one of the first things they did, I want to see a balance on one foot. I want to see you do partial squats. We want to look at that stability factor. And again, of course, we're singing the song, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. And a lot of times, any chronic, persistent lower extremity problem has a foot mechanics component. I know you guys saw some of our figure skaters, of course, over the years. And the addition of exercise with disabilities, which is one of the specialties of Wright-Fitz. I think it's one of the very special things that you could talk a little bit about. But give me the website first, Steve, quickly, for you guys.
Absolutely. So, you know, www, and then it's Wright, R-I-G-H-T, hyphen, fit, F-I-T.com. So www.wright-fit.com.
So talk a little bit about some of the programs and the disabilities and the what you guys are including.
Absolutely. Just to start overall, I think, and this is always Suzanne's vision, and it hits on the value of, I'm not going to stray off course, that will answer your question, but I just think the future of personal training or any type of performance training demands a true professional trainer or fitness professional who can take a needs analysis-backed approach to each individual, right? So it's not only just going to be about writing a good push-pull program or the old trainer with the clipboard. Me and Mike Andrews have talked about it. It's going to end up becoming painting a masterpiece. It's art. So when we talk about all the programs we run at Wright-Fitz, the initial, assessment sounds, you know, a little tacky. It's like a sales-back thing. No. Each one of our clients, no matter what, is going to kind of start with that one-on-one, just break down everything from health history, training background, but giving us the chance to just see movement, see how, you know, whether we call them neural mechanisms or how the body's firing, and then using where they come into us at from a baseline level. We do have a wide
scope mentally and physically. You know, the sports doctor, we talk about the mental game for decades. Whether you're the best athlete in the world, or you're trying to stick with your diet program, or you want to show up at your facility, right? And that's why I always ask, you know, experts like yourself, Steve, and how your sports psychology skills are going.
I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for outside of reading the textbooks, you know, the kinesiology behind the body, the physiology, man, And I've told this to some of my younger trainers. I got some of the most valuable experience being an actual coach and just learning, whether it's the football players I trained or the other athletes you just hit the nail on the head. Sometimes I'm like, man, maybe I should look at a master's in psychology, because all these other things, whether you write the best program in the world or anything else, if you can't get a beat on people.
It's great if you can't listen to you.
Yeah. You know. Right, if they're not going to listen to you.
When Guida was talking about working with whether it was Walter Payton or John McEnroe or Jim McMahon or whoever it was, he would say, I have to get into the athlete's head. If he's not listening to me, then, of course, we're not really going to be able to work with them. So I think that's one of the things that seems very, very important. Like you said, the metamorphosis of the personal trainer, I think, definitely has to touch big time on the mental game. And again, you're dealing with parents often, you're dealing with coaches, and you're dealing with the athlete themselves. And there's no doubt about it, you know, that these kinds of emphases, we've had experts on, that's all they do is deal with the mental training side of things as we've started to understand how important it is besides, you know, the physical side. What ages do you deal with at Right Fit?
So, I mean, at Right Fit, I actually had a conversation, you know, with a father the other day. You know, hey, my kid's 8, 9 years old, you know, he's starting to notice, you know, it's the kind of the same thing at that level. Hey, I see him run. He looks a little uncoordinated. Is there anything you can do to help out?
Big time.
You know, and that's kind of the age where we'll start kids. We, you know, the fancy youth athlete development, you'll see a lot of fancy terms out there. Proprioception, balance. Getting a kid to just sprint and move in different planes of motion, hey, can I introduce him to a goblet squat? But, you know, we'll kind of start kids at that age. It is called our JV program. It is developmental, 8 to 12 years old. Can I make them masters of their body? Start building a little core strength, a little better coordination. Next up would be kind of your, we'll call them high school to collegiate athletes. We have three different programs based on experience, background, and goals. And after that assessment, we kind of feed them in there. And then after that, it's really the personal fitness side. So I'm going to call it 25 to 65. It's that wider range of adults. The industry would lead you to believe that a HIIT conditioning program is optimal for everyone. So, you know, we look at people's goals in the adult standpoint, and I try to – that has to be more of a longer – you know, do you really want to have an enhanced lifespan curve, and how do we get there based on where you're at today? So I'm just going to call that kind of our personal fitness approach. The last two would be our seniors. And then what Mike Andrews has really helped evolve is our medical fitness and post-rehabilitative, where his expertise has been absolutely integral.
Yes, Restore Fit.
Yes, Restore Fit,
His world is Restore Fit. And I said are we getting that old? About dealing with, but, you know, the individuals who might have been very active, even serious athletically, as a younger adult, and then, again, wanted to try to, whether it was coordinate rehab and getting back in shape and paying attention. We'll talk more about it with Steve Graves, the head of operations, Right Fit. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Steve Gray. He's the head of operations for Right Fit Sports Wellness. They're one of the supporters of the Sports Doctor. We were talking about the challenges of all levels of working with individuals who either want to rehab, they want to stay in shape. You know, Steven, the post-COVID, it really isn't post-COVID, we're in the middle of it. Has the gym world, in your experience, handled the challenges, and are people coming back to work out? How's that going?
This is great. I mean, to me, it is a constant, it's kind of a constant evolution. We have to be able to adapt week to week.
Big time.
Let's start with the post-COVID world, right? I mean, I think all of us had some sort of an experience with the virtual Zoom personal training, whether we were, you know, one-on-one coaching clients or running groups. And is that going to be something that exists afterwards? Absolutely. I think all of us looked in the mirror and go, man, there's got to be ways. Everyone's got a computer in their hand. This can't be the end. I think a lot of people are going to use that element to innovate their businesses and how we come back. So I think that was a positive, but by no means do I think it has to be the long-term way of handling this. Now, yes, we are in the midst of it. You know, we're hopeful that there'll be a vaccine and that, you know, masses or people will be, I will call it, more inclined to come back to internal, you know, inside training environments. Here's what I will say. You know, some of our, we're going to call it high school teenage type athletes have, you know, been more receptive to come back. I guess when you look at data, not lower risk to necessarily get the virus, but, you know, from a rate of fatality on the other end of the spectrum, even though they're willing to come back, you know, everything's been, let's just say we're operating at 30%. Class sizes are very
crapshoot. You know, Steve, whether we're looking at professional sports, whatever sport you want to choose, whether we're looking at big-time college fall sports, whether we're looking at your football team, whether they're going to be able to play anything, who knows?
Sadly,
whether we're looking
Illinois,
at almost, whether we're
Illinois
looking at almost anything, it really is an upside-down scenario, I think. The virtual part of everything definitely, I think, is going to be a big part of, you know, what we're involved in. It's always been, you know, hey, you throw on a, you know, a video with, you know, with one of the members of the Hall of Fame, Giad, was from Hawaii like 40 years ago on TV, and Jack LaLanne and some of these other great, great, great champions. But I guess the term you mentioned right out of the box, you said flexibility, have to be adaptable. That is two big, big words that I guess, regardless of the business, you know, whether or not, you know, people are going to feel safe to come in and work out, whatever the facility happens to be.
Yes.
So you're looking at maybe a third of the people have started to come back.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you know, to say it, because it is, unless you're really doing more of a one-on-one where you can ensure, you know, everything from distancing to entry into the facility, right? Where, I mean, we're looking at mandatory sanitations, temperature checking, masks in communal areas, limiting changing spaces. A lot of things have changed. And it's much about educating staff for implementation as it is re-educating the customer too.
Oh yeah, it's exhausting.
Just because I mean, you know,
it's exhausting.
They don't have.
It is.
I mean, they don't
regardless of who you are, whether you're a parent sweating, whether your kids are going to go to school, whether you're in a business that you don't know what's going on regarding the people's safety, and probably normalcy if we're fortunate enough, you know, to have a magazine. What kind are you guys getting? So you're getting ready for football. Is Nazareth High School a great program over the years? What's your thinking on the high school schedule where you're coach? What's going on?
Yeah, so this was the one year where, as it relates to being the linebackers coach, I'm still helping out on the strength and conditioning front. So I've been barely attached to kind of the off season. We were gearing up for the preseason, and then kind of end of March, everything shuts down. So, you know, the whole preseason for any fall sport athlete really kind of vanished. And, you know, just talking with some of the head coach over there, you know, everyone was kind of in limbo and just kind of waiting week to week. And I think today actually, and I didn't mean to interject you, was the day where the IHSA, the Illinois High School Sports Association, basically turned over their decision-making powers to the governor. And, I think he had to make an interest that he thought was in the
and
best.
And physically, we're concerned. We talked about it with our first guest, Dr. Katoris, pediatric specialist, working with kids of all different ages, like you, being concerned about, is anybody really going to be ready to play? It really is a challenge, and to be able to play safely, and how is this going to work? So I think the idea of at least having that supervision, you're working with these kids, right? With these youngsters, everybody seems to be bigger, faster, stronger. Is that still true, Steve?
That's the truth. I kind of joke. So I sometimes will scientifically call myself vertically challenged. No, I mean I was.
Yeah, you ain't that old though, man.
I'm just saying I'm happy I played and graduated back in 2010. Otherwise, there's some really special athletes that even when I look at my own career, going on 11 years. Training kids, it is just the difference between 2014 when we won our state title to some of the amazing, physical anatomy that I see come through the doors. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Like in the world of figure skating, Michael saw him with me, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. Michael was part of different groups of people who worked on strengthening him and getting him ready. And then the world of figure skating is an example. There wasn't a woman in the world who did triples. All these famous champions, Peggy Fleming, Dorothy Hamill. Now I have 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds around the country who are doing triple jumps. And the physicality of all of these sports has also become really of concern. When we're trying to, prevent problems, as we see, I was on the sidelines of the Naperville North, Naperville Central game over the years. I see Keenan 6'5", 260. He's a junior in high school.
And probably moving like
rules,
a freight
I guess. Mm. Yes. Is Mike Andrews still doing dynamic range of motion with you guys?
Heck yeah. I mean, I still remember he was, for 2 years, he would be leading in services, and he brought some great stuff to the table. I can remember any number of his CEUs, we call them internal CEUs.
Yes, so, Michael used to show parents how to make tilt boards, who were parents of some of our young skaters, again, to work balance and work foot ankle strength. So it was always great to hear that the tradition continues. Give me the website again, Steve, before we're out of time, quickly.
Absolutely. www.righht-fit.com.
Great. Steve Gray, COO, Right Fit Sports Fitness. Steven, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
Yep.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office. Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance, step or two quicker, call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you can go back years, decades, give or take a few weeks, see who were the guests, what were the topics, international people, national people, local people, endless array of great health, wellness, and sports medicine topics. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an endless array of articles and follow me on Twitter at SportsDocRadio, D-O-C, SportsDocRadio. Again, it's the Sports Doctors In segment, and we review some upcoming shows. Next week, Dr. Daphne Denham, she's one of the physicians very involved in this exciting world of hyperbaric oxygen concussion treatment. So she'll be joining us. And then Greg Justice. Greg has got a book program and publishing group. He was one of the two who introduced me in my induction of the National Fitness Hall of Fame. He is getting ready to publish this new exciting book on the life of Jack LaLanne. I think Elaine LaLanne is co-authoring with him. The following week, Mama Cuisine will come back to join us with her new cookbook, Sheila Thielen, the vestibular motion spin coach in the world of figure skating, will return. Few emails. Don says, my 12-year-old son is a very active tennis player. He's had his share of ankle and knee concerns, and they say he has ligamentous laxity. You know, Don, ligamentous laxity, which is a looseness, you know, loosey-goosey, the advantage of that was sometimes you could have quite a bit of imbalance, like flat feet, not hurt, because your areas stretch and adapt. The problem, though, many times is that we've been more susceptible to problems because of the lack of real integrity of the joints. And we've had great success, Don, by combining custom orthotics to make a big difference in the lower extremity stability and balance and strengthening physical therapy you really, really want to pay big attention to. So attention of everything from the type of tennis shoe he's in, look at orthotics, check with podiatry, make sure he's in a real good strengthening program, and don't over-push him at 12 years old when he's growing. Darlene says, I'm a 45-year-old runner. Shoes change all the time. What are some of your thoughts today? You know, Darlene, it was always like cars. Every year, shoes would change, styles would change, new brands. I tell people, number one, choose a name brand. There's a lot of them. They all make good walking and running shoes. If you've had a history of success with previous shoes, I wouldn't look to change. There's been a lot of talk about whether it should be less of a shoe, more flexible, or more of a shoe, more shock absorption. We have found over the past 10 years between barefoot running and looking for very, very light shoes that unless we're dealing with fairly elite runners or runners who have just never had any problems, we don't necessarily say that less is better. Being in a good supportive shoe, whether it's Nike, whether it's Adidas, whether it's Reebok, New Balance, name brand, be fit properly. Tony says, my 15-year-old daughter is a serious soccer player. 2 years ago, she had ACL surgery. She's made a good comeback. I heard you talk about orthotics. Yeah, Tony, I'll talk again about orthotics. Over the years with some of the very serious female athletes that I have seen, when they combine, if they did have the knee problems, orthotics were very, very helpful. And I could count on one hand how many non-contact trauma ACL knee injuries we saw when the girl had orthotics in her shoes. So I'm a huge proponent of including that. Talk to the physical therapist, the orthopedist, or podiatry, and include it. One of our best preventions. You know, we talk a lot about our new venture, the Hey Sports Parents of Sports Doctors In online. And I wanted to give you a great example of me being the quarterback. And what we were talking about was a young figure skater, 12 years old, out on the West Coast, who had over a year's worth of problems with a particular area under the ball of the foot. She had been in a cast. She was in walking boots for months. She was miserable. And they were looking for some other opinion or direction. And one of the things we really did was pay big attention not only to the condition and the actual problem involving the sesamoid bones, the bones under the ball of foot, but we also brought in one of our experts in the area of the boots, Mr. Edge John Hermata, to see what he might recommend regarding this ball of foot problem. He was lowering the heel. We changed the configuration of the blade screws with some exciting success. And this is just a great example of the premise of, I have over 20 experts, mental trainers, physical therapists, orthopedists, mental coaches, parenting experts, et cetera, that I can call on, recommend, rely on, depending on what mom or dad or the coach who's calling me, what their question is. It might be a sports medicine situation where, for the most part, Dr. Bob will handle it with a recommendation for a local doctor, follow up whatever we would be talking about. We might also see that we want to look at recommending physical therapy. We might want to be talking about that we're looking at nutrition. We might be talking about, we're talking about shoe selection. So the reference, free reference of some of these experts can be available for the individual depending on what their need is. I talk all the time. Youth sports will return. Today's show is a great example of the challenges of all levels of trying to return to sports in this crazy world and trying to be safe. What's the game plan? We talked about that on the show today, the challenges. Kids coming back, are they ready to play? How are they mentally? You know, this whole, how's the nutrition been? So www.thesportsdoctor.online, if you go there, we have a free consult. You give me a call, talk about what our challenge, what's your game plan for your son or daughter, whether they are the best athlete in the country, or whether they are starting out and we're interested in what's a good program, what should be paying attention to, all of these aspects. Again, with the myriad of youth organizations that are part of my team on the Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors In. So everybody stay safe, stay informed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. The Sports Doctor. Thank you.